welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never, and I do have a monologue to get into. And actually, I'm just taking a note on a counter, so forgive me for actually being sidetracked. And that is 2597. Okay, so anyway, I've captured that. This is really, I'm trying to do multiple things here, and I'm pleading. As a matter of fact, I pleaded this past weekend on Patriot Soapbox. Refute me. Please take the time to refute what I'm doing. I beg you this, because once you realize you cannot refute what I'm doing, it sounds interesting, it sounds logical, it all makes sense, and it seems maybe to some flawless because people don't understand or know, you know, that it is irrefutable. And I've done full disclosure to my audience for a long time. I love being right, but it doesn't mean I'm right all the time, but I love being right. And I go out of my way to make sure when I step into something, like when I endorse a candidate for an office, and I'm usually right there on state issues and state candidates and so forth. I very rarely, as a matter of fact, I haven't endorsed a federal candidate other than those candidates that I knew were committed to Republic Review. But this year, we're probably going to endorse quite a few federal candidates because the message is getting out. For the longest time, I've basically washed my hands of Congress to say, that's just damage control. We got to focus on the states and your counties. And that's absolutely true. But the nice thing is that because I've been doing this for a while now, and, as I've told you, this all started back in 2011, 2012, in 2011, when my father passed away, that from cancer, that was when I, kind of had flushed through most all of these ideas and the foundation of what we needed to do. And my father, being a political science major, understanding the Constitution, not to the same degree because he never read the ratification base, but he was familiar with the Federalist Papers. He was familiar with all of the old documents, writings, and so forth. And bottom line, it was a huge validation when I actually laid this out, this plan in front of my father just a couple months before he passed away. And he was he was emaciated. He hardly had any energy. But as a matter of fact, my mother attested to the fact, and God rest her soul, she's passed away and she's in a better place now. But she actually gave me the recording that my father asked for, his little pocket recorder, so that he could dictate a letter that he wanted her to type up and send out to Dino Rossi, who was running for governor, and all of these other political movers and shakers in the state of Washington. And in so doing, it was a huge validation, and as a son, to especially when you're dealing with somebody that you've always looked up to as a subject matter expert on things, and... And again, full disclosure, I've always tried to understand, and if I think I'm right, because I've argued with my father, and I had such a good father that he was able to actually, I don't want to say sidestep, but he turned, and he's always acknowledged when I was right. And that's huge. I mean, most kids don't learn that tactic. Most kids don't learn to, concede when you're wrong, and that, the person you're arguing with, you let them know they're right. So the bottom line is, I love being right, but I'm more than happy to say, okay, I'm wrong on that. But that doesn't happen very often. Anybody that has known me, when we sit down and we start discussing, the reason I'm doing this is because this kind of lends to this frustration that I have, that I know what we're doing is right, and I'm challenging you to refute me. Because if you really try to refute me, and you really try to, put me to the test, put these assertions that I've made to the test, you'll find that this is bulletproof. You can't break this argument. It's not my argument. This is the framers' arguments. These are the facts. These are facts you've never learned, or you've been exposed to, and now you're starting to understand. I'm not trying to demean anybody that's listening to what I'm saying right now. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to a point where you have buy-in. The only way I can get you to that point is for you to test and prove this theory. It's almost like converting somebody to Christianity. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, we live this lifestyle and living by that example, and that somebody converts and says, you know, you have a good, clean living and you can live long, so I'm going to become Christian on that. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. It means that you're living a lifestyle of Christianity, but that still doesn't make you Christian. You have to have full buy-in to all of the premises and concepts and take his name, all these different things that really, it is a whole spiritual and physical and mind, you know, and mental conversion. Well, in this particular case, we're talking very specific on converting you into becoming a champion for the Constitution and demanding full compliance of the Constitution and acknowledging that all of these things are unconstitutional. When we get you there, now you're the most dangerous guy in the room or gal. You're the most dangerous person in that room because you know nobody can refute you. And as much as anybody would like to say, and as you get into these little minutiae arguments and they say, but this is proven, well, it's all proven based on the facade that they could do it in the first place. This is why people get very frustrated with me. And sometimes on the conservative side, I'm just absolutely aghast with the fact that, you know, I'm considered the enemy. Why did the John Birch Society instantly position themselves against me back in 2016, 2017? As I started actually fine-tuning and helping them understand Republic Review in this process, because they had problems with my use of words. But there was nowhere where they could actually prove that what I'm looking to do is alter the Constitution. The Constitution may need altering, but what it needs right now is enforcement. And enforcing the Constitution is what Republic Review and what Madison was trying to do with interposition. That's what interposition means, enforcing the Constitution, enforcing the letter of the law. So I get frustrated with these grassroots activists who are myopically focused on myopic issues, whether it's the sovereign citizen, the assembly movement, the Anna Von Ritz crowd, whatever you want to use under that. And this is a big umbrella of the sovereign citizen movement. And there's lots of people that are promoting this. And there's people that are actually in a position of power within these organizations, like Anna Von Ritz is a position of power. And people that are leaders in that organization, technically, they've got a position of power. Are those people willing to step down from that leadership in this fight that they believe is a noble fight? But it's a myopic issue. They do not solve the problem. They are not saving the Constitution. They are getting you to engage in disengaging. And to be clear, folks, that doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't remove the federal government from doing anything. What it does is absolves. It basically gets you, you know, supposedly you're washing your hands from this issue. You're just as guilty. Folks, we have a responsibility to save this Constitution. We have a responsibility under the oath of citizenship that goes to the origins of this Constitution, that we are to support this Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Not against these, you know, not to remove ourselves from supporting the Constitution, because technically that's what you're doing when you become a sovereign citizen. You are no longer falling under the jurisdiction of that actual document that was designed by the divine hand of providence. So I'm telling you, when you really look at the big scheme of things or at the macro view, this is a part of Satan's design to confuse people to say, you know what, there's so many bad things that they're doing now. But the underlying fact is that they have no authority to do any of these things. And so the real fact is we have to enforce the Constitution. We have to get our public servants to either support the Constitution or be stepped aside and be put away. You'll no longer be a public servant. We've got to get serious, folks. And so one of the things that also frustrates me is when I have to deal with what I call these, if you want to call them grassroots organizations, because there's a lot of them out there. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to pick on one because I'm going to pick on one that's out of Idaho. And Idaho has these, you know, all sorts of different grassroots organizations. One of them happens to be what we would say is the, what do they call it? The Parents and Parents for Freedom and Liberty. And when you go to this organization and when you actually look at what they're about, this is what they say they're about. Our goal is to bring parents, grandparents, and community members together to advocate for freedom and liberty in our schools through research. Well, so, see, they become myopic. Shouldn't they just be advocating for full compliance of all things for the Constitution, or do they only care about what the kids are being exposed to? They don't care about, you know, all of these other things that are destroying us. They're stealing of our property. They're stealing of our mineral rights. They're stealing of all these things that they have no authority to do from the state and federal governments. Folks, you know, it's nice. It's noble to say, you know, we want to protect the kids what they're learning. But if you really want to protect the kids from what they're learning, we have to teach them that everything that they're learning about regarding their government today is all a lie. So when we look at, and when I place this context to this concept that there are these God makers that create these organizations, and through their endorsements, people vote blindly. Until you start demanding that all organizations use the Constitution in vetting, then it's done. Because once we actually start using the Constitution and testing our public servants so that, one, they understand. And so this goes back to the organization itself when I talked about these unorganized militias in creating constitutional counties. The most important committee is the Constitutional Compliance Committee, because once everybody has a full grasp and we can talk and articulate what is constitutional, what is not, by the terms and definitions of that Constitution through the ratification debates, it's done. It's moot. It's inarguable. It's irrefutable. We'll be right back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me just finish this rant in this monologue. In dealing at the state level with these organizations, they actually really all of a sudden get this self-righteousness that they are leading the people in how to vote, because they create these endorsements. And what they end up doing, because they're using conservative values and because they lack the focus on the Constitution, they are misleading the people as well. Because, to be clear, if we're not really focused on the Constitution, getting Constitution compliance, and I'll give you a good case in point. I've reached out to several different organizations just recently in this last, you know, my last ditched effort to getting Idaho to focus on the Constitution. I've reached out to one very specific myopic grassroots group. And I said, look, you need to demand that the people of Idaho understand that in the congressional race, you want your representatives to understand that one, they're stepping into a lawsuit over January 6, 2021. And to be clear, they have to commit to fixing this constitutional crisis that they created. Now, again, we've got this script up on the Take Action page, and it's starting to get into traction. People are going, wow, you know, we need to inject the narrative in demanding our Constitution be complied to. We need to make sure that the person that's seeking your vote is willing to actually say, we will remove the Biden administration because we violated the Constitution. It's not about whether we don't have to play nice and politically compromise. Well, they got away with it, so we have to let them get away with it. No! Are you kidding me? Folks, this is your liberty. This is the end of this Constitution and Republic. And we have to take every swing and we have to take every jab that they want to throw at us and block it with the Constitution. And we have to get our hands wrapped around that Constitution and club them into submission or into their absolute demise. Period. It's time the gloves come off. It is time we hold our, we can't be nice anymore. You know, I had the privilege of working with really good, righteous, constitutionalist public servants. And it really peeves me off when I hear everybody boilerplate all public servants as corrupt and a part of a crime syndicate. I know these people, I know their intent, and I know they understand what they need to do, and they are in a good fight. That is how we got HB 0132 actually submitted in Wyoming. It's one of our biggest successes to date. The fact that I got the Republican Party to create resolutions and get behind, create the Republic Review Committee, and then actually create this thing, this beautiful thing called these resolutions for 2019 for the Republican Party, demanding that the state call for a full audit of the federal government. The manifestation of those resolutions was HB 0132. So I want you to understand, I get absolutely frustrated because I do believe that some of these people that I'm dealing with are decent people. They're good people. But they want to argue to defend themselves over their little piece of the pie that they're managing, whether it be under this umbrella of the sovereign citizen movement, or whether it be under the umbrella of the Republican Party, or under the umbrella of, you know, educational reform or healthcare freedom or your Second Amendment rights. Folks, we cannot cherry pick the Constitution anymore. We have to say, you know what? You're the problem. As a matter of fact, this is why I tell you, and one of the events that you need to have in your constitutional county events, and I've talked about this to other people specifically. I don't know if I've ever gone on the air with this, but this is the event you have to do, and this is a pull no punches event. You want to invite in one of your first events in creating your constitutional county. You want to invite all these grassroots groups, the parties, and everybody, the John Birchers. You want them there. If they want to sell their stuff, then say, okay, just pay so much money for your table if you're going to sell things. If you're going to give things away, you know, but if you're using this to bring people into your membership or for you to gain something like that, other than providing information, then we ask that you actually pay for, because now you become a vendor. It's one thing to be a contributor in supporting the full compliance of the Constitution, because that's what this meeting's all about. But if you want to actually, you know, ingratiate yourself, or you want to, you know, help, you know, grow your ranks by the people we're bringing to this, then okay, just give us $100, $200, the size of your table, whatever it is, you know, to help contribute to pay for this cost, because, you know, you're going to be making something off this, and it's only fair that we charge you for that. But we believe you belong here as a supporter of the Constitution. We believe you play a part, and so you're welcome to be here. But again, and you set these rules. and you basically have this event, and you have, and they'll bring all of their people, and the, and everybody else will bring all of their people, and as you get everybody in that room, this is an expo. You do this for a day. You do this for a weekend. If you, if there's that much content and there's that much activity in your county, you do it over the weekend. You get a venue, and we'll pay for this venue as we, as you've grown this movement to be able to pay for these venues and so forth. We'll have this huge event. And this event will end this way. At the very end, after everybody has done their selling of their myopic issue, why you need to get involved in this one issue. Bottom line, you basically stand up, and I'm just going to say what will probably take 20 minutes to 30 minutes to do in just a minute. Everybody understands good reasons why we have to engage and demand full compliance of the Constitution, whether it's the cherry-picking of the Second Amendment, the cherry-picking of our conscientious rights, our property rights of conscience, these types of things. Everybody understands that we have to step up. We have to demand compliance and the protections of our inalienable rights. And the only way to do this, and the only way we can succeed, is by uniting on the Constitution. We have only proven to this point, with the magnitude of all the groups here and everything that they've done, that we have been divided and we are being conquered because we're focused on these myopic issues. Every group, I challenge every group in this forum today, to actually set aside their self-interest and unite with everybody in this room on the Constitution in demanding full compliance and working with us in this constitutional endeavor in creating a constitutional county, that we all put aside these our self-interest and our differences and demand full compliance of every public servant to the Constitution as defined. And then we can go down all of this path of definitizing the Constitution and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, folks, it just peeves me. It just frustrates me to no end that I constantly have to fight these things. And I constantly come into these engagements with people. And it's not that they won't agree with me. It's not that they won't say, oh, well, you know, I do realize this. You know, you're right that these are unconstitutional. But this is the number one problem. We've got to be doing this. And I disagree. It's only been proven that as we go down these, it's Thoreau's manifestation. Thousands hack at the branches of evil that is coming from this government. But only one is striking the root. The only one is actually going to kill this evil tree. And that is the Constitution, those who are striking with the full force and effect of the Constitution. That's us. I'm sorry, I'm right on this. Everybody else is wrong. If the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party want to be right on this, then folks, they have to be right. By getting behind and fully supporting the focus of the entire Constitution and getting away from the agendas, the morality issues, and all these other things that only obfuscate the real issues. So with that, let me kind of move forward with the rest of the obligatories. As you know, the show is sponsored by republicreview.org. And as you know, you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. This is why we're actually going through the issues right now, and I want to get into that because that's what we need to do. I also can't tell you enough how important it is to absolutely subscribe to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. We need as many people to start looking at the exemplary issues that are coming from the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Now, I'm hoping to have that person on my show. I'm going to be reaching out to them this week again. It's been about 2 weeks when I started. So I'm hoping to actually hear from them soon and actually have them on the show, because what we'd like to do is we'd like to see this form of wakeness, this form of helping people understand the Constitution to a better magnitude than we currently do. So get your subscription. Go online to Wyoming Conservative Chronicle and get your yearly subscription. Now, Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching can help you with your own financial disciplining and financial success if you need some. He is there. He's Dave Ramsey trained and certified. In addition, Timber Nation. I can't say enough about having good American hardwood furnishings. And as a matter of fact, we're hoping that very soon you'll actually be able to see some products at Timber Nation of the, you know, the little entertainment system that we put in our family room, not family room, living room. And, you know, we'll get the desk in the broadcast room done. But anyway, the whole point here, folks, is get your orders in because I know most people do like hardwood furnishings. They do want good quality furnishings. So get your, you know, get your orders in so that you can actually have what, you know, you want by Christmas or by whatever the event is, because these are all made by hand. There's not mass produced sitting in some container off the port now that they can't come in. They can actually deliver. The problem is that their orders are going through the roof because of my endorsements and because of all the other endorsements that they're getting. People are starting to recognize Buy American. Buy, especially if you're buying American, buy from American companies like these that actually support patriotic efforts and values. What I hope to do is actually get back to all of these companies and so forth and have another interview with Gary Smith and the and these people at Timber Nation and Stan, and actually say, you know, now that their business is really kind of starting to pick up, how is it that you're contributing? Because I want to actually see them. I don't want them to give me discounts. They may be giving you some discounts, but I would much rather see them as businesses starting to support Constitution Party candidates and how they're actually supporting the Constitution in politics and so forth. This is where we need the money to go. It's nice to save money, folks, but we have to save our government and our liberties. That's far more important than our wallet, right? Isn't it? We'll be right back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so without any further ado, we can now get back into these issues. But of course, let me remind you that I just reminded you, and coming back with the music there, we have a comment line. If you want, if you can refute, if you want to shed some light, if you want to actually get engaged, you need to just ask some questions. 425-270-5416. And so we're right now kind of focused on this little thing called property, and we were talking about money and what's really important, especially in this upcoming election, because why is it nobody's talking about this? Why is everybody talking about cryptocurrency and the legitimacy of cryptocurrency and allowing cryptocurrency to become legal tender? Folks, I already gave you exactly what the Constitution states and how the states are constrained. The states cannot allow cryptocurrency to actually flourish in America. The only legal tender that they can actually make, that they need to actually create this law that states that only debt and payments of debt can be made by gold and silver coin as tender, not crypto. So in other words, anybody that is operating a business using crypto, using this fake fiat money that the Federal Reserve has aggrandized themselves in stealing our wealth. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to actually, you want to change their attack tactics, put them on the defensive. The quickest way to get somebody from attacking, get somebody from stop attacking you is by hitting them, putting them on their heels, putting them on their butt. Because guess what? They're not landing any punches when they're on their butt. So we have to hit them back. And we have to hit them back by using the force of law. And every state has the constitutional obligation to basically state that they cannot make anything but gold and silver the tender in payments of debt. The Constitution was never amended to allow fiat currencies. You get it? Do you understand? So this becomes a part of this petition stuff, and we'll get into the petitions as we go through, just in recapping on this one particular portion of property money. Okay, so maintaining physical money has to be the foremost. We have to actually have these conversations with our political leaders. They have to understand that you have these rights of property. That's your property. You should be able to possess it. It shouldn't be something that's sitting on a USB file, you know, this little USB flash memory file. Oh, well, here's all my property. It's nice to have it in electronic form as far as the documents go, but that can't be your land. When it's physical property, you have a right to possess it. It's an inalienable right, folks. And as a matter of fact, this goes all the way back to the establishment of the Ten Commandments and even before, that no one has a right to take something that is yours. And you know it's yours and they know it's yours. This is one of the reasons why thou shalt not steal. Anyway, in accordance with Article 1, Section 8, what is money and how is it property? Well, okay, so we understand money is actually a physical coin. It is a piece of paper that is backed by coin, at least. It has to be at least that. It's one thing to say, we're not going to, you know, it's, so it's not that they can't use the physical coin, but if you wanted to, instead of carrying a bag of 1,000 pieces of silver, you could carry, you know, a $1,000 bill that would be backed by 1,000 pieces of silver. The fact is that they've actually limited the denominations of the currency because if you think about this, why do they do that? You should be able to go in and pay cash instead of writing a check. They want you to get away from using physical currency. This has been the design for a long time. And the convenience, and oh, it's so nice. Folks, they're robbing us blind. And they've prepared us. We're right on the precipice of being pushed and welcomed into the arms of a global cashless society, where we surrender our property rights to the fundamentals of property itself, currency. Okay, so money is a medium of exchange and currency that becomes the actual property of one who accepts it for exchange of goods or services. So in other words, here I have a good, gold or silver, and there you have a gold of a parcel of land. I give you this gold, you give me that land. It is an exchange. That's what currency is. It is a property. And now, in exchange for that piece of land, you now have a pile of gold. You now have an exchange of property. So, the paper money that was instituted by the general government that is no longer backed by gold and silver is in violation of the Constitution. There has to be at least, that's one of the reasons why when they started printing paper money, that they made sure it was tied to physical gold and silver. Now, one of the reasons why, you know, our currency and everything has gone sideways is because the federal government has closed down and seized control because they claim to have this constitutional authority of mineral rights. And this is why we're actually been subjugated to the minerals around the world instead of mining our own minerals. Oh, because when we do it, it's dirtier than when they do it in China. You know, at least when other countries do it, it doesn't affect us pollution-wise. Are you kidding me? Have you seen the crap that they do around the world and how they mine and so forth? America's always been the leader in innovation, cleaning, and improving, and efficiencies. Come on. We actually have, this is how our government is taking hostilities against ourselves and subjugating us to this global governance. So, as we start looking, and I just want you to understand that there are gold mines and silver mines that we haven't even tapped that should be able to be opened up to where we can actually start flooding this precious metal back into our markets to actually allow for, I'll just say, let's call it a stabilization of our currency, where we now have this influx of gold that we can start backing most of all the paper that's printed and remove the paper that can't be backed, period. That's going to hurt everybody. But the people that's going to hurt the most is the people that actually have the most amount of money. You have to understand this. This is why the people that have the most amount of money, the rich and the elite, they're aggrandizing themselves in their own little vacuum with their own little magnifying glass because their piles of money get bigger. But when all of a sudden everything gets reduced, they lose the most. I can tell you, folks, they lose the most. This is why they do not want. They want to go back because they'll gain more and more and more as they can allow themselves to control the flow of currency from electronic bits or from paper. Fiat currency, when they print it, it hurts the small people. Going back to the gold and going back to the precious metals and so forth, that actually benefits the smaller person. So, because they can't inflate things, they can't let it get into your hands and then take it from you. Anyway, it's kind of like when all of a sudden the housing market crashes because we remove all the invaders. Let's say we remove the 40 million invaders that are here illegally in America. That opens up a lot of property. All of a sudden, the value of property, because the market is no longer short, you know, the supply and demand, right? So because now there is no huge demand and there's a huge supply of property available, well, there's this perceived value that will shift. Folks, if you have in the market space a medium quality level home that you have highly, you know, you've got a lot of equity in and that you're looking to sell and step up a little bit, it doesn't change anything. If your house was worth $500,000, if your house is worth $500,000 now and the bubble pops equally. And what I mean by that is that the more expensive houses pop and they actually come down even more. So these concepts and, you know, this principle of protecting our property and these homeowner associations, they're actually antithetical to true property rights. Because bottom line, the market is what it is, especially when it's a free market. And so you can actually sell, and there's a lot of people that want to sell their homes for, you know, their $500,000 or $1 million home and actually take the equity and then go out and downsize and get into a smaller home, you know, whether it be turnkey or whatever, so that they don't have any more payments and they just, that way they are autonomous. They are free from debt. They own everything. Folks, we have the ability to shift back at this point in time as we start enforcing the Constitution. One of the things I want to get into really quick before we lose time again are these petitions that actually I've just identified, or going through this content yesterday and today actually helps you understand that one petition that you have that you can start initiating right now is a call to your county, you know, your commissioners or supervisors, demanding that they call upon their state legislators to tell Congress to get back to making coin money or money based on the backing of gold and silver. That's one petition. The next petition, the states must make laws to prohibit both the federal and state governments from making or allowing electronic digital currency or all fiat currencies other than gold and silver as legal tender. They are all constrained to they can only use those things. The next petition, people have the right to possess their property. I didn't probably get into this enough, but you have a right to possess your property, and the Congress cannot create a law, or government, even the state government, cannot prohibit a person to actually holding the property in their possession. But they have laws now that says you can't possess more than $10,000. That is unconstitutional. They don't have the authority to limit your own property and what you can possess and hold. Are you kidding? We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we're just going into break on the third. I just didn't get a chance to finish this third petition. So the third petition you have is you have to petition your county commissioners. Again, the first one being petition your county commissioners or supervisors to demand that they call the state legislatures and Congress to getting back to comply to the Constitution and only having gold and gold, silver-backed dollars, what have you. They have to get back to actual coined money based on gold and silver, not fiat. The second is being very clear in prohibiting the legal tender of digital currency or any type of fiat paper, what have you, that it must be based on gold and silver, and that the law, state laws, the state legislature needs to pass a law that prohibits any other form of legal tender in the payment of debt in your particular state can only be done with gold, silver, or gold and silver backed currency. It has to be backed. In other words, you should be able to take that bill down to a bank, a federal bank or what have you, state bank, and exchange that bill for gold and or silver. And the next thing we're just getting into, you have a right to possess all of your property. Now, if you have property all over the state and you want to put it together, you can't do that because you can't physically move all of these lands. I mean, you know, you would disrupt all, I mean, even if you had the power of the creator himself to do that, you would actually disrupt all of these other things. But possessing land means that you can occupy it, you can be there, you can have it, and you can be in your possession, or it can be in your possession, like your car. You can have your car in your garage. You can have your car wherever you want to have it for its safety, security, what have you. Same thing with money. They've passed laws and the banks have created unconstitutional rules and regulations based on federal bureaucracies that they cannot do. So you have to petition your county commissioners that the state enact protections of your property, that you cannot be denied the possession of all of your money. There is no founding in the Constitution that allows the federal government to create rules or regulations that say you can't have your money, that you're limited to only this amount, this arbitrary line in the sand that says you can only have $10,000. That is wrong. And as a matter of fact, there have been cases that have been won in court over this when people have been denied access to their money and said, I need $10 million and I have more than that. And so give me my money. And they refused to give it to them. They actually had to go to court to be able to get their money. It's the same thing in gold and silver. They have no ability to deny you to possess your property. If you've bought gold, if you've mined gold and you have gold, that is your property. They have no ability whatsoever to control the minerals of your land. Folks, when you start understanding all of these things that were done or attempted to do, this is why I bring up the Thomas Jefferson's amendment. Thomas Jefferson thought it was a noble thing to create these lands for Indians. He thought it was a noble thing for the federal government to be able to possess mineral rights. So he submitted an amendment to do that. That amendment was never accepted, so the federal government was never able to assume those powers. But guess what? Because they never had the amendment doesn't mean that they didn't assume the ability to do it. They did it unconstitutionally. This is why I'm so frustrated, because this is not that difficult. I mean, I don't think I'm a genius at all. I don't think I'm that smart. I just think I'm a simpleton. And I look at things in a simpleton framework, but I have to concede that because I've been reading and because I do this, when I start talking about these things and I start linking all of this type of stuff, I do see people's eyes kind of glaze over, not because I'm trying to impress them or trying to just, bedazzle anybody. That's not the point. What I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to speak to the things that have been available in what we'll just call in the public forum. These things should be common knowledge, but they're not. And so I'm here to help, and I'm not from the government. I cannot emphasize this enough, that we have these awesome opportunities and abilities to actually invoke and start demanding and teaching both at the public level as well as our public servants. We need public service. I honestly see that the way we really move forward is by you rising into the occasion and into positions of public office. I believe in training the trainer. What I'm doing here is actually training you to become the Thomas Jefferson of reframing and actually restoring our hybrid constitutional republic. If I did this myself, this goes to the argument of anybody that says, how come GR hasn't done this? How come he doesn't go into politics? If I did this for myself at the county, state, and federal level, I'd be tied to the reach of office. In other words, the only place the GR could actually lead the nation and help everybody understand and bring everybody up to this was technically the president. But I don't want to be president. What I want to do is I want to help everybody make this country better, because we all have to lead on the Constitution. And in so doing, if I tied myself to the county, it removes me from my ability to reach across other counties to the state, to the other states, federally, and so forth. And so when people start going, I can understand that. Because we all get bogged down into fighting all these little nuances. What I want to do is I want to help everybody fight the nuances, not just in my own little county. As a matter of fact, when people say, we want to put you on the ballot, don't do that. I mean, it's one thing to put me on the ballot as the president. That would be a noble honor. I would be humbled if that would happen. But I'm not trying to become president of the United States. I'm trying to get the people to take their contract back, trying to get the people to take their states back so that the states can take their compact back. And when I say your contract, I mean your contract with your county, the compact with the state that the counties have. You got to understand our form of republicanism. I go through this all the time. Our form of republicanism is a bicameral acknowledgement, or a, if you understand, a duality of sovereignty. The people are sovereigns, and the form of government that we create are sovereigns as well. And you start understanding these things when you read the ratification debates, when you start going through and how they start talking about sovereignty and having a dual sovereignty. I mean, it hurt. I think it was the guy's name was Clay in Virginia. He just had a hard time understanding how you could have two separate sovereigns in Congress. Both the Senate had, you know, they were considered a sovereign that was opposing because they represented the state, and then the House. But this guy didn't understand how the rules, or I should say the roles and responsibilities, were defined and delineated between the two. Anyway, I digress. Your fourth and final petition for this property, money property. This is only, these are petitions just on this one small segment of what we're going through. The states allowing cryptocurrency as legal tender for payment, debts, and trade is violating the Constitution. And so anybody that is using that, and everybody that's invested in this, this is going to get a lot of people upset, because a lot of people are out there going, hey, I fully believe in this. This is the way this has been the huge deception. Now that we have so many people, even good conservative patriots, that are telling me, you got to get into cryptocurrency. You got to get in there. And I'm telling you, we can't. The Constitution doesn't allow it. Folks, you become a part of the problem. And actually, you're drinking the devil's, from the devil's, the still. You're drinking his elixir. Because now you have basically tied yourself. People that are involved in cryptocurrency are going to get hurt when we enforce the Constitution. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that until Christ comes and invokes whatever changes that need to be done that will move us into the billionth whatever year of the universe, come on. Let's wait till then before we make those types of changes. Let's live within the laws that we have right now, because, one, those laws protect us. Those laws protect our inalienable rights, and they keep us from being oppressed, repressed, and actually, I'll just say, killed by tyranny. Because that's what governments do. They kill. They're killing machines. They're very efficient in this. So now we've given you four petitions that you can now create just over this the monetary issues in the monetary system. Now let's get into the rights of property and conscience. And I have less than a minute. So what we're going to be getting into, and what we'll actually have, because we have a bit of ways to go under the rights of conscience. Then we have state property, personal property, and intellectual property to cover. Then we'll get into common law. When we get into common law, that's when I will introduce this conversation. And hopefully by that time, I'll have a couple of conversations with Mr. Nally, Judge Nally, his honor, out of Georgia, so that we can actually help you understand better on what common law is and how important it is to restore it, and how easy this will be to restore. Because this is not rocket science. You know, only lawyers try to make things difficult with case law precedents and historical tie-ins and the spin jobs that they like to do. We don't need that. We don't need that level of complexity. It's not within our system. It is not conducive to our system, and we don't have to be rocket scientists in everything we do. Folks, we're going to point to Madison's essay on property the first thing when we come back in our next episode. But in our next episode, we will actually have you'll know tomorrow when we do it, because I'm out of time. I'm GR Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.